The Bargain by Solvent 90, read by Petica. Summary. Written for the second AI Anon Love Fest kink meme, with a shorter version originally posted there. The prompt was Chris Adam Arranged Marriage, AU. Disclaimer. Pure fiction, not intended to comment in any way on the real lives or personalities of the people who appear as characters. Author's notes. Many thanks to Wild Stranger for the beta. And now, a story about that time Adam Lambert and Chris Allen got married. Sadly, not the one I'm still working on, but a compressed version, which is also the first thing I ever wrote in this fandom, now with the NC-17 bit. This is set in some kind of fantasy AU that has duchesses and arranged marriages, and also highly anachronistic dialogue. I don't know. The plot, such as it is very loosely based on the premise of Georgette Heyer's April Lady. Chris only knows three things for sure about Adam Lambert. He's made an enormous amount of money in not altogether respectable ways. He dresses and talks in ways which could politely be called flamboyant, and which Chris's dad calls vulgar. And he's ridiculously tall. Like, a whole head taller than Chris. The first of these facts is the important one, of course. The one that's brought Chris to this point. The ring, a cool, solid weight on his finger. And a guy he's only really talked to once silently shepherding him into an empty room with a bed in it. But it's the scale of the man that's the more, pressing reality just now, since he's being shepherded into a room with a bed in it. And he can feel Lambert's breath on the back of his neck. He takes a quick, calming breath. He's fine. He's fine. He's fine. Are you going to faint? Lambert inquires behind him, sounding more entertained than concerned, his mouth almost touching Chris's ear. Chris feels a spark of annoyance cut across his nerves. All right, he's from the country, and his father's pretty strict, and, as a nobleman, he's had a far more chaperoned and restrained existence than Lambert has. That doesn't make him a kid, or an idiot, or someone incapable of following through with the promises he made only a few hours ago. No, he says curtly, turning to meet Lambert's eyes. And then his voice cuts off in his throat. Lambert's eyes are sharply blue, his eyelashes dark and long. He really is very tall and very close. Chris has to stop himself from taking an involuntary step backwards, the jitter of nerves in his stomach growing worse, and Lambert tilts his head to one side with curiosity. You really are afraid, he says slowly in a baffled tone. I'm not... Alan, what do you imagine I intend to do with you tonight? Chris's cheeks flame hot and he drops his eyes involuntarily. There are several possible answers to that question that have occurred to him before, in the dark and quiet of his own room. He doesn't think he could say any of them out loud. I don't know, he says lamely to the carpet. There's a moment of horrible, awkward silence while Lambert studies him, and then Lambert's hand on his cheek, tilting his face up, and Lambert's mouth is on his. When they'd kissed before, after the ceremony, it had been a perfunctory touch, just a brush of lips before Chris had jerked away and tried to smile at the polite applause of the congregation, at his dad's expression of thin-lipped resignation. Just a bare touch, but taken together with Lambert's sheer proximity, the smell of his too expensive cologne, and the heat of his body, it had been enough to make Chris's head spin a little, his knees feel shaky. But this is... He hears himself make some kind of noise, low in his throat, as Lambert licks delicately at the corner of his mouth, coaxing his mouth wider open. And when Lambert pulls away, Chris finds his hands are clutching at his shoulders, wrinkling the fine, faintly shiny, vulgar, cloth of his coat, and that his knees have parted around the gentle forward nudge of Lambert's thigh. No more than this, Lambert says, voice rough. Not if you don't want more. Oh, Chris says blankly, staring at the redness of his mouth. Lambert laughs and kisses him again, deeper and slower. And it feels like drowning in honey. He's so close, overpoweringly close, with his long thighs and his powerful hands and... This time, Chris moans rather than whimpers, and when Lambert breaks the kiss, he's smiling, wide and delighted and oddly boyish. Is that a request? Chris stumbles, unsure. None of this is going as he expected. He's done his part. He's said his vows, and he doesn't know why Lambert wants to keep talking, even now. It doesn't have to be, Lambert says, and there's something about his tone, maddeningly gentle, that's just annoying, patronizing. Chris opens his mouth to say he's fine. He doesn't need Lambert to mollycoddle him or whatever. And then Lambert takes Chris's hand, the hand with the ring, and twines it with his own, actually kisses the fingertips. We have all the time in the world. Chris stares, baffled, and then, suddenly and without warning, completely furious. He jerks his hand away, pulls out of the embrace. Don't. His voice nearly cracks. Perfect. He clears his throat and glares. I'm not a complete fool, Lambert. I don't require... I would rather you didn't pretend this marriage is something other than what it is. Oh? Lambert says, eyebrows rising. Chris can't read his expression, but it doesn't match the bland calm of his voice. It isn't angry, but it's something. There's a peculiar intensity in his eyes. And what is that? Chris takes a deep breath, another. His throat hurts. But he won't have Lambert think that he's too much of a coward to hear it spelt out, or that he would rather have a pretense of... I married you for your money, he says flatly, and you married me for my name. Really? Chris stares, and Lambert takes his chin in a hard grip, his eyes glittering and foreign, impossible to look away from. For my money? Really? He says softly. That's why you haven't been able to take your eyes off me since the first moment we met? That's why you're afraid to be in a room with me for more than 10 minutes together? There's a rushing sound in Chris's ears. He hears his own breath hitch, and he can't get it under control. It's impossible to lie in the face of Lambert's merciless scrutiny, Lambert's hand hard at his jaw, refusing to let him look away, and he feels himself blush miserably all over. Lambert's thumb touches his lower lip, his voice somehow hard and gentle at the same time. I didn't marry you for your name, Chris. You think I give a fuck who wants me in their drawing room, or how many duchesses I know? But, he smiles, small and strangely shy. Hey, after that first dance, you wouldn't talk to me, so I had to go talk to your dad. Oh, Chris says dizzily. He can't really think straight, but... Oh. Oh. Adam, he says, testing the word out. And Adam, who he had met on his first night in the city, before he'd given any thought to how the marriage market worked, assuming that he could just slot into the future his family had all planned out for him. Adam smiles at him and says, Yeah. And, Hi. And this time, it's Chris who reaches out and touches the familiar curve of his mouth, draws him down into the kiss. Adam makes a startled sound, hands coming to rest at Chris's hips, but he lets himself be kissed, lips curving up into a smile. It's shallow, sweet, and Chris feels himself smiling helplessly back into it. He feels utterly ridiculous, almost weightless, as the last few months of knotted-up worry vanish into nothing. The last time he felt this good, this light, was the night of the masquerade, when he'd met Adam, when the taste of punch and the warm summer air and a stranger's laughter had given him the sense that he could say anything he chose, anything at all, and it would be okay. Chris, Adam's saying, and he really does seem content to just stand here kissing all night, one hand resting on the small of Chris's back. But it's been almost a year since that first meeting, and Chris wants... I want, he says out loud, and he can barely recognize his own voice saying the words, the strain in it, the shocking greed. I want. What? Adam says. Anything. And then he huffs a shocked laugh as Chris pushes him back on the bed. Oh, Getting pushy, Alan? He says, tucking his arm underneath his head and grinning, perfectly comfortable on his back with his thighs spread invitingly wide. I like that. You're so... Chris says, staring down at the sprawl of him on the bed, and Adam lifts his eyebrows, looking interested. What? Annoying. Beautiful. Vulgar. Impossible. Tall, Chris says, idiotically, and Adam begins to laugh, but it stutters into a gasp when Chris puts his hand on one of his thighs, draws it up slowly. I've wanted to touch you here, Chris says. And he knows how foolish that sounds, how crudely obvious. But he can't seem to stop talking, now that he started. And Adam isn't sneering, or frowning, or shocked like any gentleman would be. Adam only stares up at him, with darkened, expectant eyes, his mouth quirked affectionately. He lets Chris unbutton and rearrange and touch, his body stretched out luxuriously under Chris's hands, all on offer. And when Chris says, "I want," with my mouth, Adam actually groans, arching his hips up in blatant, impossible invitation. "Go on then," he says, and Chris hasn't done it before, but he's imagined it in excruciating detail, hidden his face in his pillows and thought, "Adam," and slid fingers into his mouth. He thinks that Adam can tell, can see the long-banked desire painted on Chris's skin as he watches him tentatively take the head in his mouth. And it doesn't matter that he probably can't. Just the thought of it and the fact that Adam can see him now is enough to send heat flaring wildly through him. Adam thumbs his cheek and groans softly, pushing into his mouth. "Good," Adam says, voice rough and low. "Just use your hand, just like that. Suck. Yes. Chris, please." And the words are broken and vulgar, Adam's fingers curling deep in Chris's hair and drawing him in. And Chris feels a low burn deep in his gut, and he can't think anything except, "Yes." In the morning, asleep with his face half turned into the pillow, Adam looks like a stranger again. He'd painted his face at the masquerade, glitter on his cheekbones and kohl around his eyes, and some shiny substance on his lips. And, at the wedding, he'd been all dressed up in his too expensive suit, his skin flawlessly made up. Underneath all that, it seems he has freckles and his body is pale and soft-edged, strong. "Adam," Chris says, and Adam cracks open one eye and smiles sleepily at him. There's a pillow crease across his cheek. "Hey." "Hi," Chris says, smiling stupidly back. He doesn't really know what to say next, but Adam reaches for him, and he leans into the touch. And when Adam mumbles something incomprehensible against his hair, it feels, against all odds, like a promise. The end. Reader's notes. Thank you to Solvent90 for letting me read this fic. If you would like to find the text version of this online, it can be found at http://solvent.dreamwidth.org/69164.html. If you would like to find the podfic version of this online, it can be found at padicaproductions.com. Thanks for listening.